Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Paramount Plus. Get in, loser! Mean Girls is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Join Katie Heron as she meets the plastics and Tina Fey's new twist on the modern classic. Get ready for more of the rumors, backstabbing, and jokes you loved from the original movie with some fetch surprises. Rated PG-13. Wear pink and head to ParamountPlus.com to try it free.
What's going on, everybody? Hope you are having a wonderful week so far. So before we get into the podcast, and if you are listening to these podcasts, I'd love it if you could just subscribe and share it with your friends. It kind of makes the podcast keep going, getting more listeners. It's just amazing. However, I'll leave the promotion now and we're going to get on to this week's guest, and it's the one and only Sheba San. I've known Sheba for many years. We've written records together. I would like to class him as a very close friend in the industry. His music's amazing. He's such a nice person, and he's extremely talented. I wanted to get him on the show because not many people have actually heard him talk about his life and his career. Obviously, over the years, him being a French man, there's always been a language barrier, and his English has massively improved over the years of touring America and living in America. And I just wanted to get him on. I loved talking to him in person, and I just thought it'd be a really interesting conversation for you all to have. He's recently just released a record on Factory 93 Records, which is called Get High and All the People. So I thought it was just the perfect time to get him on, talk about the records, talk about his life, talk about his history a little bit. So yeah, without further ado, the one and only Sheba San. Sheba San, I have not seen you in far too long. How are you doing?
I'm good, and you?
I'm really good, man. I'm really good. It's actually really nice to see you. It's been, yeah. I know we've over lockdown, we've spoke on the phone, like, well, on WhatsApp texting, but I haven't seen you. I don't know when the last time I saw you was. Can you remember?
Yeah, it was in 2019 for sure.
Yeah.
But exactly the... No, the exact date, I don't know.
I think it was Miami Music Week.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
So it's like 2 years and a half?
Yeah.
Damn.
I missed your face. How's life? How's life treating you?
Good. Really good, honestly.
Yeah.
I had time with all this break.
Yeah.
To go back to... I would say real music. It's really weird to say real music, but more like piano, trumpet, and more as a player than producer and everything. So it was really good to have time to do that.
Yeah.
And honestly, I feel better than before, where I was just touring and producing tech house or house or everything. So So yeah, it's really good.
So do you think coming back, you've like, you're now gonna like have a more of a balance of like real playing real music, as what we would say, like playing trumpet, piano, blah blah blah, and then writing as well? Or do you think now you're back DJing, back doing tours, you're gonna be like more writing?
I will keep doing that because I need that. So I will manage my time maybe in a different way.
Yeah.
But still to keep like maybe 2 hours a day minimum to do this kind of thing. Because I need it. I honestly need it. And I really said it when during the breakdown, because something was missing inside me. And now nothing is missing, like in the music and feeling and this part of me. So yeah, I think I have to keep going on that.
I love that, because I remember watching you on Instagram and like over the lockdown, and just kind of seeing you just fully stop writing like club music and just fully immerse yourself into playing your grand piano or playing your trumpet. And yeah, I was just like, I knew you did it because I've known you for God knows how long, but I don't think anyone else knew how talented you were on that side of things. And I think it's a really interesting thing to kind of show people. A lot of us producers, I can only speak for myself, I guess, I'm not that talented at playing a piano or playing an instrument. I'm just not. And I think it's really nice to see people that are, just to kind of like be like, hey, this is what I can do also. It's really important.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. Yeah, yeah, maybe. Yeah, I didn't do it to show to people, and pretty shy on that. Honestly, that's my management to say, oh, Fred, you play piano, because I recorded something and send them and say, oh, you have to post it. I say, yeah, but it's not, post it. So it was not really intentionally. I don't know if we say
that. Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
But why not? Yeah, I need it, and if people like it, and it's what I saw, like people like also to listen to different things of music in general, because even if they go to a house or techno shows and to listen to I would say a simple music, but yeah, like dance music for clubs, they always listen to something else at home.
Of course, yeah.
You cannot listen to a boom, 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 shing, shing, like during 24 hours, every day, like for life.
You sound like my mom and dad by saying that.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you realize that, say, yeah, why not to make something else and just like offer maybe something a side thing of me. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. What do you listen to? What do you listen to in your, like, when you're not in a club then?
I think mostly jazz.
Yeah.
New things like old jazz, like Blue Note Records, or for who knows that, or different labels like that. I like jazz since like the 50s, end of 50s, 60s, or the bebop style. And then I listened to a lot of soul funk from 70s, 80s also. Neo soul also, I really like that because it's pretty jazzy, very good singer. Usually, yeah, like all the harmonies are really jazzy. So I really enjoy that. That's what I'm listening to when I'm not listening to house music.
Do you listen to much house music?
I have to,
yeah,
first, because I listen to promo every day.
Yeah.
So it takes maybe minimum 1 hour, 2 hours a day and to new tracks, new promos that I receive, to select everything, so I already listen to
a lot,
like, music for like 2 hours a day.
That's a lot. I don't listen to that.
I know you never listen to your promos.
I never listen
to
promos.
I like to discover new songs, new artists. New, yeah. I really like promos. For me, it's receiving promos is everything. I really like to.
Do you have somebody that goes through your promos to start with, and then you, like, kind of fills out all of the stuff that they know you won't like?
Yeah, I start that in. I don't really. I think it. 2016, because you know, when we're touring, we're on like hotel room and everything. I was still in France at this moment. So when I came to USA for a few months, sometimes 2 months and more, I was always in hotel rooms, and the Wi-Fi sometimes is like, now it's better, it's getting better, but it was like so bad.
Yeah.
And to listen to promos when you have a bad Wi-Fi, that's the worst, because you have to download, you have to listen, you have to. So I did. I was very late on everything. It was a nightmare. So I asked to my maybe my best friend or one of my best friends, because if I say my best friends, other friends will be jealous. So I will say one of my best friends, we call Milad.
Yeah, legend.
A lot of people around me know him. And he's also producer and DJ. And I asked him to do the job. So I told him, like, okay, I have a deal. Do you tell me if it's okay for you or not? So I give you my promo email box.
Yeah.
So you can take whatever you want. So you can play. So you have now my promo email box. But it's a lot. It's a lot of labels and everything. Yeah. And for all the beginners DJ, when I say beginners, it's not necessary. Just people who start, but not famous, who receive a lot of promos from other people. It's very hard to get music.
Yeah.
New music, promos, like something not out on Beatport or that already everybody plays. So it's like kind of a good gift to have, like an email promo box.
Totally.
So I say, I give you my email promo box. You do whatever you want with that, but you have to select everything. You know what I don't like when it's very like different,
yeah.
I don't know, EDM or trance or like something that I will never play.
Yeah.
Not necessarily bad. I will never say that one music on one genre is bad, because for me, everything can be good. And just something that I will not play. So he put to the trash, and then just give me on my Dropbox everything he think I can enjoy. Mm. It's already a lot. And so he does the job since 2016, I think. It's very, like, I don't know how he does, because when I see like the number of emails, it's crazy. So I thank him for that, because it's a very good help. So yeah, I receive everything in my Dropbox. So when I put my when I turn on my laptop, beam, I have everything in my Dropbox, and I can listen to like the best tracks. And it's a very, very, it's necessary, because I will not have time, honestly, to listen to all the emails and to all the music that I receive, and I shouldn't. Sometimes people just see your name, they subscribe you to their email box, but it's not something for you. It's just like not the style.
Maybe I need to employ a Milad, because that's why I don't listen to promos, because I can spend 3-4 hours going through my promo thing and I don't find a single record, or I find one record that I'm going to play, whereas I can spend 3-4 hours on Beatport and really dig in Beatport and really find some, like, a lot of music.
Yeah.
And I know what I'm looking for, and I would love to, I guess, like, yeah, I play a lot of my own records, but I also play a lot of my mates' records. So if you send me something, I'm gonna play it. If like my close friends send me music, I'm gonna play it. Do you play a lot of your own music that's unreleased?
Yeah, a little bit, but not like you, because you produce way more than me.
Yeah.
So you play most of the time, I don't know, you maybe play 80% of your music, sometimes 100%, I think. Yeah. that's not my case. I used to do that, but at the beginning when I was, and not unknown, but really at the beginning when I had like a lot of tracks and before releasing it, so I did it. But now I can't do it because I don't have, I don't know, when I play 40 tracks for a show or 30 or 40 tracks, I don't know, I don't have 40 tracks of me. I have, but already released. It's not interesting to play only track released. So I play, I don't know, between my label and me, it represents maybe 50%.
Yeah,
the show.
That's cool.
Yeah, but I also like to play a track from other producer because I like the music that come out.
Yeah.
I like a lot of different music from different producer, and I'm DJ first, not first, but for me it's really. It's separated, you can say that. So I don't do DJ because I'm a producer, like some of people who just like start as a producer and then, oh, you have to do a show. Oh, damn. So they become DJ because they have to.
Yeah.
They are not really DJ in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I'm maybe DJ first.
Yeah.
So I like to play music. I like to play music for everybody.
Mm.
So that's why I keep that. And I don't know if I would enjoy to play only my music, honestly.
Yeah.
Even if I had it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, because I remember coming to your studio in Paris. And like at the end of ours, when we'd written a record, like you just got on the decks and started scratching. And it's like, there's something with you that, like, when you're passionate about something, I don't have many friends like you that, like, are so passionate about something that you just keep doing it. And you're, like, one of the only, like, with your background in hip-hop, like, you're still one of the only DJs that I know still scratches in a house record, if you know what I mean, and still, like, actually does it. And it's almost like you're just having fun. And it's because you want to do it. It's not because you have to do it. It's because you want to do it. Like when we were in the studio and you were just like, I just want to play some records and scratch. And like, it's really nice to see. But like, I guess what I'm trying to get at is that you actually fucking love what you do. And you're doing it because you love it rather than doing it because you have to do it.
Yeah, sure.
I love it. You dying over there? You dying over there? You good?
Not sure.
Do you want to take some water?
Don't have water here.
You can jump out, man. We can pause it.
Yeah.
We're back.
So you see why I will never talk during my shows on the microphone because my voice. Sometimes like go away.
I love the confidence that people have to talk on the microphone. Like when I see people like speak on the microphone during a set, I'm like, I can't do that. I would like, I'm too scared to do that.
Yeah,
it's too much.
Sure. So
what were we saying?
Yeah DJs, it's a passion. So that's why I think I went to hip hop. It was not first maybe because of the music, but more because of the scratching and techniques.
Yeah.
So that's why I did that for many years. And so I loved the music, the hip hop, of course, I produced it and everything, but the DJ, when I was playing, hip hop, it was really fun to the way to mix it, the way to scratch every track, to have like double vinyl and make pass and have some routine and everything. It was really, really good to prepare it and to play this kind of set. So I miss it a little bit sometimes, but yeah, that's why I'm doing it at home.
What was the scene like in France, the hip hop scene? Because I know French hip hop is huge over there.
I think that's the number one music in since a long time. So, well, now it's like very commercial, but it's everywhere. Like hip hop, like now it's very commercial. So. So it's different. It's why I stopped, because I don't know why. I like in each music, I like when it's a little bit underground. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. It's not a choice. It's just like, I prefer that. So when it started to be more commercial, I stopped it. But the scene is it's very big in France. Very big.
Yeah, I was in the car with Born Dirty the other day, and he was playing me some French hip hop.
Yeah,
and there's something about not knowing a language, but hearing somebody kind of like rap in another language. There's something really like therapeutic about it. I'm not trying, because I don't understand what they're saying. Yeah. It's almost like their voice is another part of the, like, it's like another instrument. So I'm not concentrating on what they're saying and trying to listen to like the story of what they're trying to get across. It's, I'm literally just listening to music, and there's something about the French language in songs, especially rap music. It just sounds amazing. Don't know what it is.
Yeah. And it's a little bit, what I did when I was listening to American hip hop before, because I didn't really understand what they said. Just the hook or something, but like during the verse, or I didn't understand anything.
Yeah,
I tried, but for me it was more like the style, the groove, the I think you can listen to hip hop, or even if you don't understand the lyrics.
Yeah, it's totally
like, sounds good.
Yeah, it's kind of therapeutic for me. It's like kind of that like hypnotic kind of thing. Maybe I don't necessarily agree with like the mumble rap stuff personally. I'm not really into that kind of the new kind of new age hip hop. But like more so like the old school kind of vibes. I love that. It's definitely got like soul, which I guess is what we try and all create in music. Maybe. I want to talk about going from living in Paris to living in America. The first time I met you was in a festival in Sao Paulo, I believe.
Oh yeah, I remember. You came back, you were behind me.
yeah, I remember. And
Dirty Bird stage.
Yeah,
you were Justin Martin, Claude on Stroke.
Yeah,
you
and Bruno Furlan.
Yeah,
Before Bruno Furlan was big.
And
I remember speaking to you and was like, you literally could barely speak English, and like we got along and we were just kind of got along with trying to translate things to each other and have like very broken conversations. And over the years I've got to know you, your English has become so much better. But what's it like being from Paris, moving to America, and kind of like that whole language thing? Did you struggle with it? Because your English is amazing now.
Yeah, amazing. It's a big world, man. I don't think so, but yeah, it's compared to before.
Yeah,
it's
man.
Like incredible.
Yeah.
But I didn't, like a lot of people didn't really understand that during the shows, or even like the promoters, or They thought maybe I was not talking, or I was, I don't know, like I was to stay alone. I wanted to stay alone, or but it was not the case. I was just very shy, because I was ashamed of my English.
Yeah.
And for me, it was bad to I really felt very bad to come to a country and to play a lot in a country and to not speak the language. Mm-hmm. And it's English. It's not like Turkish or Russian, I don't know, like language that you have to learn, especially it's English, it's like international.
Yeah.
So I was really ashamed for that, and I was not feeling good. So I tried to learn and to talk more and to listen to like more people, because also I think it was, I could speak a little bit, but like to understand all the accents, different accents and everything, it would be a nightmare, honestly. It was, and in a club with my earplugs when people talk to me.
Yeah.
Honestly, at the end. So I was like doing always like that, but
I remember
Asian people like in Paris, they also they don't speak often like French, like all Asian people who have like restaurants or something. Yeah. And they always do like yes, even if you do like something that doesn't need a yes. And I was like that. Like So people like maybe found me very weird. They have to know that it's I was very, very shy. I'm a shy person generally, but because of my English, it was worse, like horrible for me to do that. So now now it's better. Sometimes it's still like pretty hard. When Kamel Fat talked to me, honestly, I don't understand anything. Tell you.
Mate, to be fair, I don't understand anything they say. It's
when
fine.
Chris Lorenzo talked to me, that's not that easy. but I improve. But it's not by moving to America, because you asked that, because I don't really speak English here. I'm surrounded by French people.
Yeah.
The time. So so I speak French all the day.
Really?
And unfortunately, I don't know if it's unfortunately or not, but all the friends that I find and that I become very close are French.
Yeah.
So I play tennis with a guy with a tennis coach and also producing music from Get Bad, and he's French. So we talk, we speak French. So that's not because of that. It's just I try to when I watch movies, when I listen to the radio, when I do things like that, I try to be focused and to listen to the English more.
Yeah,
and I think that's how I improved.
Yeah.
So yeah. But it could be better. Like it took longer, because now I'm here since 5 years, more than 5 years, and I think I could be better earlier.
Yeah, to be fair, from what you were saying, when you like talking, going into a country and you're kind of like ashamed that you don't speak the language, I get that when I go to like a Spanish speaking country. I spent a lot of time in Mexico before coming back to America. And I'm just like, I just feel like for me, it was just feeling super like lonely, as in you can't say anything. You can't have a conversation with anyone. And you're just like, you have to kind of retract, because you go to a restaurant and you can't even read a menu. And you're like, I don't know what to order. So then you just end up ordering what you think is going to be good. And then you can't ask questions. And it's like, it is tough. It's really tough. And I couldn't. For me, I speak English. I only speak English. It's my first language. So trying to learn a language that isn't my first language and living in a country that they speak that as a first language, it must be hard. Like, and I think it's also, it's super natural to kind of lean towards having friends of your national language. Like, for me, it's like, it's not just the language, it's where people have grown up. It's your culture. Like, I have like my closest friends in America are English or have spent many years in England that are practically England, and get the culture and get our sense of humor and understand kind of all the little things. And I think that's normal. I think that's why in different cities you have Chinatown, you have Little Japan, you have Polish town, because people just like to be with their people.
Well, we understand you better.
Exactly.
Of course. Yeah,
it's nice.
Actually, in Miami, people speak more Spanish than English.
I always say Miami.
So my English is really good for Miami. There is not that much American people here. Like when I say American, it's like native or with parents and culture from America. Yeah. So there is a lot of people from everywhere.
Yeah.
Because everywhere from around the world come to Miami. And so for here, I have a pretty good English.
Yeah.
So that's why I have to stay here, because I feel like...
Because you feel superior. Yeah. Yeah. I always do say that in Miami, it's like another country. It's not America. It's might as well be South America or somewhere else, because they do not speak. The first language is not English at all.
Yeah.
But that's what kind of makes Miami, Miami, right?
Yeah, of course. I love that. Like, yeah. That's why I came here too. I was scared to go to a very like American city, like 100%. So the fact that there was a very big mix of people, different people, that's what we have in France.
Yeah.
Was for me necessary to find like the same kind of spirit.
Yeah.
But now I'm ashamed to not speak Spanish.
Yeah, I bet.
Of course, because I'm here since like five years. Mm. Everybody speaks Spanish and I still don't.
Yeah.
And my next goal, I wanted to speak English first, but honestly, I really have to learn Spanish, because there is so many people I would like to talk with, and also we go a lot to play in South America, and I think Spanish is very important everywhere. So that's my next goal.
Do you think it'll be easier for you to learn Spanish than English?
Yeah, I think so, because at school
we
had two languages, so English and Spanish, and I was not bad, and it was pretty easy.
Yeah.
I just have to practice, but I already know a lot of words, and if someone talk in Spanish, not very fast, but it's very hard because the language is fast by itself. I can understand a lot of things, like, in planes or in airports or everywhere. When they say a lot of things in Spanish, I understand everything.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty similar to French.
Yeah.
So I just have to practice for more the grammar and all these things. It's just practice. So that's why I'm ashamed, because I don't do it, and I should do it. Mm. Like, I have to do it. Really.
It's strange, isn't it? Because it's the conversation I have with myself all the time, especially with friends when we talk about languages. It's like, I should speak another language, but I want to speak another language. Like, I'd love to speak Spanish and I'd love to speak Japanese. Don't know why Japanese, I love the culture. I love what it is about out there. But I just don't. And I'm just too lazy. And I think that's the thing, realistically, I'm just too lazy.
Yeah, I don't think you're lazy, because you work a lot, and I know it, and you do a lot of things. It's just like find the time to do it and find a routine every day, because it's a everyday practice.
Yeah.
So, and when we with our job, but it's a lot. It's like we have to listen to music, we have to produce, we have to do the marketing, we have to do like social media.
Yeah.
Even if do it like you not that much, but it's a lot of things to do every day. Going to the gym, do it. You cook, I don't. So it's at the end of the day, like you work full time for your job. So if you have to take like 1 or 2 hours for another language, it's a lot. So that's why it's hard to find time to do it. It will be easier for me when I go to restaurant, I just have to try to speak Spanish instead of speaking English with someone who doesn't really speak English.
Yeah.
So that's just my fault. But for you, I understand. Like when you're full time doing something, it's very hard to find time to learn a new language.
I think I'm a firm believer though. If I really wanted to do it, I would do it. If I really wanted to make the time, I would make the time.
Yeah. When you go to the gym and you do your elliptical or your stepper or something, you could like listen to a listen.
Yeah, I should do that. I've never thought of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe I'm going to do it.
So that's, we have a challenge.
Okay. We're
the first who speaks Spanish.
Okay. You'll beat me. I'm
happy to follow you in Japanese, even if I would love to speak Japanese because my name is Japanese and I love the culture. And, and when I went there, I really feel that I should have maybe been born, we say that.
Yeah, yeah.
In Japan, because like the way they do, the way just they live, it's exactly what I like.
Yeah.
It's everything is like very clean, very in the airport and everything. There is line, nobody like cross the line, and they speak slowly. There is no noise. There is no nobody talk like shout in everywhere. Like they feel that they are alone and talk to the phone with FaceTime, like 100 people around. So things like that for me, it's like. When I saw it. And in Japan, it's like everybody's quiet, everything like, and it's how I am. Maybe that's a country I should live in if it was not like far away and like completely different. But it's exactly what I like the style of life.
Yeah, I agree that when I first went there, I was really nervous when I was kind of going there. And when the minute I landed in Japan and like literally the minute I got into the car from the airport, I was like, wow, there's something so amazing about this mm-hmm. place. Not even Tokyo, just this place. There was parts of it that reminded me of home in the UK with the countryside and like the green trees. And it was just like very, very lush, as we would say. But then getting into the hotel in Japan and then just walking around, and the amount of respect that everyone gives each other is just mm-hmm. it's something that we don't do in the Western world.
Yeah.
And I'm not too sure how they've done it. I think it's maybe the whole like the kind of Buddhist culture maybe, and it's just been passed down over years. But it's amazing. And I think if we took 20% of Japanese culture and brought it to the Western world, it would be a much better place and a much more respectful.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And also the food is amazing.
Yeah.
It's the best. I want to talk about okay.
Oh.
Okay. What year did this come out?
2014, February.
You've hands down had the biggest record on Dirty Bird Records ever.
Mm-hmm.
OK kind of transformed your career to where it is today. And you've been consistent over the years. When did you realize from releasing OK, or when did you see the difference in your career from releasing OK to before OK? Like, how quickly did it change?
So the thing is, I was totally nothing. As Shiba-san, it was the beginning. So everything could change my career because I was nothing.
Yeah. But you'd released before OK, right, as Shiba-san?
Just one EP.
I did not know
and
that.
One remix. It was not. No, I just released. I think my first release as Shiba-san was December 2013.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm even more amazed. I didn't know that.
It was an EP on, what's the label? It's an English label. I don't remember the name. Damn, it's not cool. Yeah, the label disappear kind of. So,
yeah.
But so I just released an EP that worked like pretty well, but not crazy, like good. I did a remix on this same label. And then it was okay in February. So that was my first, my third record out.
Wow.
In 2 months, like 3 months. So, of course, it changed my my career from nothing to
everything.
To someone.
Yeah.
To everything, if I can say that. Yeah. So, yeah, I was very lucky to have this track at the beginning because I know, like, and you know it, and a lot of producers, like you can make a lot of tracks. You can like put out like so many very good records. If you don't do like a number one or something like that, you still stay like a little bit at the bottom. Mm-hmm. You play small shows. So everyone really pay attention. Like when I say everyone, it's not the DJ because. Us like the DJ, we know all the producers, even if they are infamous, yeah. But just they do a lot of very, very good records. We know them and we play their track, but they are still
small.
No one.
Yeah.
Small because they just like don't do a number one track and so no one of the public like pay attention to them. So I was very lucky to have this track at this moment, just at the beginning, because like everything started at the beginning. So when I decided to do Shiba-san, I was in a studio for 1 year, like totally, I don't know how we say, but not like in jail, because jail is another, but you know, like, I was in my studio. Like
that's what you did, yeah.
And I didn't want to talk to anyone. And I said to everyone, I stop music. Like I didn't say I do another project. I do in French. I said I stop music. I'm done. I do something else. And I stayed in my studio like for one year, every day trying to find a sound. I did a lot of tracks and then okay. And when Dirty Bird signed it, I was happy because I really like Dirty Bird. And but I didn't know it would do something that big.
Yeah.
So, and then I saw that everyone talked about the track and everyone was playing it from underground scene to more like EDM scene. And I said, fuck, like that's crazy. And Barclay, the Claude Van Strook, said at this time, like, this track is crazy because we don't know what it is.
Yeah.
We don't know if it's house, if it's disco, if it's like, we don't know, but it works.
Yeah.
And that's why maybe a lot of people, different people played it. And it was like an old genre track.
Everywhere, man. Like there's hit records. There's always a hit record, like at least every year. Right. And I would say every 5 years, there's a record that is like everywhere. And okay was a record that it was more than everywhere. You couldn't get away with it. It was, you couldn't go to a club without it being played. You couldn't walk past a bar without it being played. And yeah, you're right. You created a sound that no one else was doing. And I think that's what happens.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much nowadays. I don't necessarily think that actually happens nowadays so much. But I think
it could. It's just because nobody's doing it.
Yeah.
It's always what happened. Like a new style always, like when the music changed, it's always come from someone who arrived with an ovni.
Yeah.
Is that, in English? Ovni? No. An ovni is like in French. So ovni is like...
anomaly, do you mean?
Extra, like when the... Oh, damn. I don't know how to explain that.
How do you spell it in French?
It's O-V-N-I.
French to English. OVNI. UFO.
Yeah, UFO.
Like alien. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yo, it's always like someone do something like that, completely different, and everyone say, "Oh, damn, that's good."
Yeah.
It's different and we like it. And then it works. It's like number one, number two, number three. We don't really care about like the if it's number one or not, but it works. And then everyone try to copy it, and that become like the new style.
And that's what I was going to ask you. That was kind of going to be the second part of the question: is what's it like everyone making Shiba Sound music?
So I don't think so, because okay, it was different. Even me, I didn't do the same the same style, because it's not really a style. Sometimes you have music that is a style, and okay, it's not really a style. It's just like a bass line, a very good big hook with the bass line. So it's very hard to do the same, like to say, okay, it's a style. We have to, because you will do what? Another bass line like that with a very fast note. Like it's weird. But I think a lot of people came to house music with that.
Yeah.
Because and start to do more like house, tech house, or like all the genre that we know now, maybe because of this track, because it worked, and some people say, "Oh, but like now house work again, so we can go back to that." And I know a lot of people who did like EDM or other style before stopped and came to this style. So I think that's a little bit the beginning of maybe the thing, because When it was, so it was not number one on all genre, because at this time, the top was David Guetta, yeah. Afrojack, what's the name, like all the big EDM names, Vici, like I don't know. So that was a lot of sales. So to be number one in all genre was like impossible.
Yeah.
So the best place I think for me was number three. But it was already like incredible, because there was no house music in the top 20 or top 30, maybe.
Yeah.
Nothing. So I was number one in house, house style. But yeah, number three in all genre was SO. I think a lot of people maybe say, yeah, that's cool, because we like this music, like this kind of music, not necessarily okay, but the style in general. And we have to try to go more in this style. And so of course a lot of people came into this music because of that. I'm pretty sure a lot of people tell me that, like, oh, that's why I came to house music and why I love house music now.
It's 100%. And I like that kind of bridged the gap between, and I don't know why, because it's not a commercial record. It's not like what we would look at as a quintessential commercial. There's one record in it. There's one vocal in it. There's a bass line and a kick drum and a clap and a hi-hat. It's not like, it's not a pop record. It's not a commercial record. It's not anything. It's just a great club record. And I don't really remember the last time there was a record like that. I would say Body Language. You remember Body Language by Booker Shade?
Yeah.
I would say that was the last, before OK, that was the one.
That?
Yeah. Maybe Eric Prydz, Pajanu.
Yeah. There is a few tracks like that.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
For me, something a little bit similar could be like Put Your Hands Up for Detroit.
Yeah, but that had like a vocal that it had a vocal that everyone, if you took the vocal out, yeah, but the vocal was what everyone would kind of remember, right?
Yeah, but okay, also, like a lot of people say okay, boom, 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 and the but they say okay,
they say, for them,
like, the okay is very important,
yeah, you know? It is, I guess.
Same track without the okay, I don't know if it could be the same,
yeah. How many memes and videos were made from that as well?
Like a lot. But yeah, no, there was before, I think, in house music, some tracks like that came from underground,
yeah,
DJ and just made a hit. But mine didn't go to radio. So we signed a license with Ultra, I think.
Yeah.
And they wanted, like, a lot of labels wanted to sign the license, like the major company,
yeah,
at this time. And they all wanted to add a vocal, yeah, on it. So they sent me a lot of demos of the voice, and I said no, for me, no, I don't want a pop track. Like, yeah, for me, the track is like that. If it works like that, it's amazing. If it doesn't, I don't care. Like, for my track is that. I don't want a melody or cheesy, yeah, another hook on it, or just something to put it on the radio. Mm. If it doesn't work on radio like that, it doesn't work on radio like that. So that's my track. I don't want to change it. Mm. And so it didn't work on radio. Yeah. So it could have been like way bigger.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it would have changed all my career, because I would have played over stage, and people would have known me as more mainstream DJ.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I could have played the same kind of music. To please the guy who came for okay,
yeah,
if it was like radio hits. So it was a good choice, because I really wanted to stay in my style and play my music. So I don't regret at all my opinion at this time.
Do you still like playing the record?
Yeah. Honestly, I'm a little bit tired of it.
Yeah.
Of course. Like, I try to not play it when I can,
mm-hmm,
but I see that always, like, people want me to play it. So
yeah,
when it's like 1 hour, 1 hour and a half, people like show me the phone with okay, okay, okay. So yeah, that's my big hit. So I understand that people come to also to listen to that and
yeah,
play by me. There's a lot of people who maybe never saw me in, so yeah, they want me to play it, so I still have to play it.
Yeah,
I think.
No, I respect that.
Sometimes I try to not do it. Like when I play Space, for example, in Miami, I don't play okay.
Yeah.
Maybe the last time I did it, but at the end. But some shows, when I feel that the vibe is good and it's more maybe underground in the, and I try to not play it.
Yeah. Yeah, I respect
and I'm
that.
Happy when people say, "Wow, it's." Wow, the set was so good, and I didn't play okay. For me, so oh,
yeah,
I'm happy. Like I say, okay, I did a good set, but I'm happy without okay. So
yeah,
I did a good set.
Yeah, that's nice. It's strange, isn't it, being in the DJ world? Because could you imagine like being a band like the Rolling Stones or something like that, and they have to play the hits? People aren't going to see them to listen to their new music. People are going to see them.
Oh.
And I don't play a lot of my old music, like all of it. I don't play any of my old music. And I've not had a hit record at all. I've had big records, but I've not had a hit record like you where it's like okay, if you know, where everyone knows it. But it's strange how we are as DJs. So I know, speaking to the Camel Fat guys, they really don't like playing Cola. And that was that's what made their career. And they try and not play it. But what do you think that is? Why do you think we are like that?
It just like when the track come out, we already work a lot on it. So we already almost tired of the track before.
Yeah, before it gets released.
It's released because we work a lot on it. We play sometimes a lot on shows. It was not my case because I was nothing and I didn't play before. So that's maybe different. But if you like try now, if I try a track and so I play it for like 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, every show to try it, to change it. And then when it's out, it's almost like it's done. Like I already played like for 6 months. So for me, I'm in another music.
And,
but for the people, it's the beginning of the track. Mm. So I think that's why. And we also want to show our new music. And for me personally, when people say, they are happy to say that. And I understand that. Oh, your bass track is okay. And I feel like very bad because I say, fuck, since 8 years I didn't do a good track. So what? I'm a shit because and they don't know that it makes me feel like that.
Yeah.
But that's true. Like when I have your best track ever is okay. Yeah, okay. So I did like 50 bad tracks since okay. And so I feel okay, like I have to do maybe another good track one day. Because I would like to go forward and not to just live in the past. And that's why I think we just want to always make new music and to make new genre, new style, to find new ideas, to evolute, or I don't know how to say that.
Evolve.
Yeah. And yeah, so that's why the past is just, for us, it's the past.
Yeah,
it's just okay. We did the track; it worked. Cool. Now we in another thing, and for people it's different because for people your name it's like it means this track, and they want to listen to that from you.
Yeah,
it's understandable. We're not in the same state of mind.
Yeah, totally.
The public and the DJ. So totally. That's why we have to always think about, okay, that's what I want, what I like now, where I am, but the public come to see me. Mm. They pay to see me. So I also have to give them a little bit what they want.
Totally. You have to, because they pay our bills at the end of the day, don't they?
Yeah.
When you released it, and like, let's say like a year after it had been released, was there ever a thought in your mind like where you were kind of worried because you're like, I have to write another record like this? Or were you just happy that that's been written and you can just crack on and do what you want to do?
So I did this project when I did Shiba-san. I was not expecting to do a big track like that, honestly. And I did this project to do what I wanted to do. Mm. Just what I was feeling at the moment and do the music just like to enjoy. Because all my life I did music for other people. Mm. And it was always like, oh, you have to do a hit. You have to know. Oh, yeah, it has to go to this radio. It has to. Mm. So it was all my life. And I was tired of that because it's always you have to change something that you really love because, oh no, it's too jazzy, oh no, it's too nana, it would not go on the radio because it's too and when I did Shiba-san, I wanted to stop the it's too or it's not enough, or I just wanted to make my music and then see what happened. So after okay, I stayed in this state of mind and I just like kept going to make music as I liked. I didn't try at all to do another one like that. If it comes, it comes. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I don't try to do something that I'm not 100% like.
Yeah.
Because it would become a hit or not. Mm. That's why, okay, I say no vocals. I like it like that. I don't want any vocals on it. I don't feel a vocal on it, even if it could be better. So, so we did, I did like not big hits like that, but I did some records who worked very well. Like I Like Your Booty, like a lot of people, there was a lot of streams and a lot of people still asking that.
Yeah.
Chance with Green Velvet. It's
huge.
A big track too.
What was the fire one? I can't remember the track, the one with Cody on the vocals.
Burn Like Fire.
Yeah, that was huge.
Yeah, so Burn Like Fire is crazy because I sent it just after I sent it to Barclay to Dirty Bird, and he said, oh no, it's too, like in the break, it's too UK.
yeah.
Because there was a dun, 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 like something more UK.
Yeah.
And of course, like even in Paris, I was like very influenced by UK. And I didn't change it. I didn't say, okay, I take it out, just want to be in Dirty Bird and be good. No, I took it like that, kept it like that. And I sent it to them. Alzheimer's coming.
Sorry?
Alzheimer is coming. Animac.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So just by myself. Hi, I'm Shiba-san. Hi, Animac. I'm Shiba-san. This is my new track. It's not released yet. And I was on the airport like 3 hours later. I sent it just before going, and It went on radio on BBC.
That's so good.
Crazy. And then it was, so I think it's Gary Richard, the Destructo, who did a video like for Heart Festival or something like that, like a teaser, I don't know, like with millions of views, and he put the track on it. Mm-hmm. It was not released. And I received like a lot of messages like, oh, what is this track? Yeah. It's crazy. Where it is? It was not released. And that's why I decided to do my label. I say, okay, like Dirty Bird doesn't want it. I don't know if I send it to someone else, but I think this track is already hot.
Yeah.
I think it's the good time to do my label because it will work, I think, even if like I have like a label from scratch.
Yeah.
And I released it with my label and it worked like very well. And now it's like a kind of one of my big track. So the story of this track and Cody. So Cody was my agent. I miss him a lot. And at this time, and I needed a vocal and I had the lyrics and I said, Cody, like, please, because I like his voice. And we were together at the show and he was always rapping. Oh, Fred. Nah, 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 nah. And he I think he did things before. I don't know, but he liked that. And I said, Cody, you have to record some this sentence for me. This is the lyrics. Please tell that. He said, oh, I can do it. Say, you're fun. It just like take a beat at like 125, you listen to a track and you just record with your phone, and you did it. And then I did everything like double, triple and effects and it worked perfectly.
I love that.
So it was amazing. And I had an award.
I was going to say, didn't you win an award for that?
Yeah. So I had an award for like best underground track 2014 for OK and 2015 with Burn Like Fire.
Really?
That's crazy.
Yeah, man. You've had some big records.
Yeah.
Really big records.
It was crazy. It was really good. Really good memories.
Yeah, they were. Do you think it's...
And now Cody is your agent.
Sorry?
And now Cody is your agent.
Yeah, he's my agent. He's the best. He's the
best. You're in a good hand.
Yeah, I was always jealous of you when you had Cody as an agent. I was like, damn, he's so good. And now we've got him. He's good. How's the rest of the year looking for you?
What, sorry?
In fact, no, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about Basement Leaks. I want to talk about your record label. So was Burn Like Fire your first release on the label?
Yeah.
That's why.
So it was in 2015.
Yeah. So you've been running the label for a long time.
Yeah, it's just like the label was just at the beginning to just release tracks that label that I wanted to have. When they didn't want my track, say, okay, I will release on Basement Leaks. So it was at the beginning just for me to release my music when I say good labels, it's not good labels, but labels that I wanted to be in didn't want the tracks and that I wanted to release the tracks. So that was the beginning of the thing. And also, sometimes I was jealous because some labels played a lot of demos, and so it was unknown music and release music, crazy. I say, if I do my labels, I will receive demos, and I will be able to play like music, like unknown music, and it's crazy. It's really good. So that's also why I did it, and I played like a lot of really good track and released track that very different from other labels. So, but make a little bit my sound maybe a little bit different, and that's why I did a label. It was not as I'm just by myself. It's very hard to run a label and to listen to the demos. There's a lot of demos, a lot of things like the promos completely out of the style, but you have to listen to it to reply to the guy, because I know I was before like small. And it's cool when someone tell you, I don't want it, because you know that it's okay for that. It's done. When you don't know, you always think, oh, but I sent to the label, does he want it? It's always that it didn't reply to me, didn't even listen to it. Yeah. So now what I try to do each time I receive demos, it's to connect to my Basement Leaks account, SoundCloud, or to show that I listen to it.
Yeah.
First, and then I try to reply, even if like it's sentence that I copy and paste all the time, because it's a long way to write. So, but I say I listen to the track. It's good, but it's not for me. So, but was the first thing why I did the label, and it's so good to receive like demos. Sometimes like a little bit weird, because people are not like a crazy producer. They are beginners, but there is like a crazy idea on it. So I did an edit. I do an edit, or I sometimes change a few things. But I really like it. Like receive demos, completely different.
Yeah. Is it nice releasing music of other people? Because I, on my label, I haven't released anybody else yet. I've just released mine.
Yeah.
I'm kind of almost too scared to, because I want to be able to give them, I want to be able to make their records really good and make them, turn them into like big records. And I'm kind of, it's kind of scares me, because I don't know, it's a big responsibility. How do you find that?
I don't know. Like for me, just like when I feel a track and... The only thing I want is to be different from other labels. So, for example, I receive a lot of music that sounds like Dirty Bird.
Yeah.
That's understandable, because I'm with Dirty Bird and I sound with Dirty Bird, and so people think that I will love the track. And I love them. I sometimes enjoy the tracks, but I say it's a Dirty Bird sound. It's better if you send it to Dirty Bird.
Yeah.
That's my sound. So I don't want to sound like Dirty Bird. I don't want to sound like another European tech house label.
Yeah.
Or I just want to have like tracks that I really feel, and that I feel it's a little bit different from what I hear.
Yeah.
That's it. And after that, I don't try to do a chart or there is some track that work well. Of course, if it works, it's very good. But yeah. I also just like release tracks to release music. And yeah. if someone listened to the label one day, say, "Whoa, wow!" There was like, maybe people will hate it. But yeah. if someone is into it, they will say, "Wow, there is like good music," and it's always. I remember like big labels. If it's dance music, like classic, like Prelude or label like Strictly Rhythm or
Positive, just, all of those.
It is a lot yeah. of music. It wasn't working necessarily, yeah. but when you listen to the history of the label, it's a fuck. Like it was a really good label. Like everything yeah. was good in it, and there was a style. There was a feeling in it, and always like kind of the same without being. Things that copied or you know it's like it's just a style and my what I want is just that like having a style and in the label and if something worked it's perfect because it's always better when it worked for everyone one for the money of course but two for the guy who released the track to be more famous and to have his music more heard
yeah.
by people. So it's always better to work well, but it's not necessarily my goals. I'm not sad if it doesn't go on a chart or because I know that it's different. It's yeah. very underground or like sometimes like the track of the last Fully. Deep Sea or all this EP are really different and underground. It can't go like in top 20. It's not possible yeah. because there is no lyrics. There is no even no hook. Maybe yeah. no. There is just like it's a beat. It's just a groove.
I guess that's the whole point of the name Basement Leaks as well, right?
Yeah.
It's not trying to be anything else.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is important. I loved releasing on the label. 8-bit is
yeah.
I still get people ask me to play that record all the time.
Yeah, it was an awesome track.
Yeah, and is it nice releasing records from your friends?
Yeah, that's the best thing. I really love to have you. And sometimes, like the thing also, why it's sometimes important to have a label that works and that sells. A little bit it's to have like more like bigger names because when you have a small label who doesn't really chart or even if it's good music
yeah
big names don't really want to sign with you because they say what it will bring me
yeah
you know? So it was really nice of you to give me this EP because you were more famous than my label and so I was really happy to like that was my favorite things for the label and yeah
but I think for me is like it was I loved having it on the label because it was the same situation as like Dirty Bird didn't want the record and that yeah. at that time I was on Dirty Bird the same situation as you were when you kind of the reason why you started a label
yeah
and also you're a good mate of mine and I think it's really important to remember that like we're in a community and we have to kind of stick close with each other and although like now like we don't write the same music we don't play the same music necessarily but we're still good friends and we can all still support each other
sure.
And I think that's really important as well. What's your plans for the record label in the future? Have you got much music coming out or are you just literally just...
I try. It's very hard, honestly, because I receive a lot of demos, but everything sounds the same. Yeah. Everything sounds like Dirty Bird yeah. or like the tech house of the moment with just a bass line and cheesy, I would not say like Fisher track, but it's kind of that, like, you know, or, and it's not at all the style I want to pull out. So
yeah,
I just say no kind of 99% of the time. So just because it doesn't fit with the label. So it's very hard for me to have a lot of release, not because I don't have time, not because I don't want to, but just because I don't find the right the right music to put it. But I have I tried, like, what I would like to have is to have maybe each 3 weeks release, each 3 weeks would be the goal if I could.
That's great,
but it's not easy. Honestly, it's not easy. So the next one, I released a track of mine with a friend called Nordic, mm-hmm. new artist. So the next release in Basilic is Nordic. It's coming out next Friday. After that, I have a release with like him and me.
Yeah,
we did the 3 tracks together.
Cool.
And there is Ghetto Blaster, my favorites. Mm-hmm. And there is Milad, there is Monra, also Chimbaresco. I like to sign these tracks. So I have Dylan Marinez, also some a guy who released on Dirty Bird already. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I have few EP or singles coming.
Yeah.
So Youngness and Jamin also.
Nice, man.
They are. It's the brother of Dance from Amine Jamin.
Oh,
Dance.
Really?
Yeah. So they did a lot of good track. I play a lot of track from them. They send me always like demos or promos, and there is one that I want to sign. There is a track on Desolate that I stopped to play now, but I played it for like 6 months, like each show. It was really good track. So yeah, I have few good, like, in my opinion, in my taste, few good things coming.
Totally.
And we will see.
What have you got coming up? Because I know you've just released a record on an EP on Factory 93, which I love. It's great. What have you got coming up for your own releases?
So for the moment, nothing except the EP on Basement League. Nothing is planned yet. So I try to, because I had a problem in 2019, I think, or 18, I don't know. I did a lot of music and I had a lot of track, and we sent to different labels, and everything came at the same time. And I had like maybe 6 EP or tracks at the same time.
Yeah.
Like in the same month.
Yeah. It's a lot. That.
I had 6 tracks in the top, actually. So it's a lot also, because everything worked.
Yeah.
So, but it was 20, 25, 50, you know, and maybe if I just released one EP,
it would go up.
The EP could be better. So now I try to just send like EP by EP, track by track, maybe release less music. I will not necessarily say less but better, because it would say like that I didn't release good music before, just like quantity. No, it's not that. But just now I try to not have like 6 tracks at the same time out in 3 or 4 different labels, because it doesn't make sense.
It really doesn't. So, it confuses everybody as well. And it's hard to, like, during lockdown, I released so much music and I signed so much music. And now coming out of lockdown, like, some of that music still isn't out and it's coming out. Like, and I've luckily, I'm having a record label myself. I can pull my records out of my label and kind of do it for next year. But all the other labels that I've released stuff on, it's just like non-stop, and it gets too much. It's kind of stressful for me. I don't know about you, but it's just like, this is too much.
It was horrible. And then you also sometimes when you send an EP to someone and they take it, but they don't release it right now, Yeah. After that, you blocked. So because you can't, or they say, oh, we release like in 3 months. And then you say, okay, but in 3 months, so I will have that. And so when I can release new music. So it's everything like very far away.
And then you do a remix to somebody and they're like, oh, it's coming out in a month's time. And there's nothing you can do about it. And it's just like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, that's why I try to maybe slow down a little bit in terms of like quantity and to send music. And also I try to not to change, because it's a big word, but the music change, everything changing all the time. And I think now we are in a little bit in there will be or there is, I don't know, but a transition, I think, of style right now. And I just try to find something a little bit different.
Yeah.
So I'm not in the routine, like, okay, I do the track, and always the same thing. And what I want, no, I try to think more to try to find a different style and something that would be good for the next year and maybe later. Not something just on the moment. And I also have track that I did during the lockdown or before, and for me now it's too late to release it.
Like, I think that's really important, because you're right. It's like, it's very easy for us, and well, it's kind of wrong for me to say it's very easy, but it's pretty easy for us to write a club record that we know how to write. It's hard to go into the studio and write something different that we feel is going to work in our set, still sounds like us, but also is different to what people are expecting. Without completely transforming everything and kind of throwing the fans completely off. It's tough.
Yeah, for the art. That's the hardest part of the producing. It's to change, because the music change all the time. Like I think it's like 4 years, something like that. There's always like something new. And so if you want to stay up to date, or in the hype, or I don't know, like in the movement and everything, you have to move and to change a little bit your music without copying other people.
Other people, yeah.
You don't want to be just like a follower or something. No. If you want to stay like you, you always have to keep something from you.
Yeah.
But also to change and evolve. And that's hard. The hard thing is to keep like to try to keep the attention of your fan that loves your music from the past into your new music, and then maybe keep new fans and still going up.
Yeah.
That's very hard, because a lot of people say, oh, it was better before, or like, you know, that like people say, oh, like the rap, or I don't know, oh, it changed now, I don't like it. It was better. Totally. Like,
yeah.
I don't like it anymore. And so that's the hardest part. And if you see in a big artist, there is not a lot who like cross like the period like that, like Madonna, Michael Jackson, maybe I forget maybe a lot, but there is not that much people who stay like for 20 years or 30 years at the top by changing the music.
Yeah.
When you listen something from, if you see Michael Jackson in 79 with Off the Wall, after that you listen to Thriller, after that you listen to Bad, after that you listen to History, like it's completely different.
Yeah.
But it's still Michael Jackson, and it's still working. Yeah. So there is, and Madonna is the same. Like it's crazy to do that. And for us, it's not the same level, because we are like, we do club music, but that's the same. Try to always follow like the changes. No, follow the music, but like the changes, and always like try to involve and be here. And without losing
people,
the people who love you before.
Yeah, it's really important that it's hard. There's not many artists that do it really well as well.
Yeah,
a lot of people just stick to what they do, and just
yeah, they are big like for 3 years, and then when it changes, they can't.
Yeah.
So they try, but it doesn't work. So they come back. You see that a lot. Like they try to change and it doesn't work because they are not really in the style because they don't like it or I don't know. Like, and then they go back to their style because they're thinking, okay, they love me for that. So I will do. But it was not. It was the style from before. It doesn't work anymore. Mm. And so in house music, someone who hear like if you see Green Velvet, it's like crazy.
Yeah.
Because MK also so artists who did like things in the 90s and still here, still making music that work with a style. If you listen to a music before and now, it's completely different and still working. That's like incredible.
I was with MK the other night, and he played played Crossfest the like day moves the other day. Well, I say the other day, it was like a month ago, and he played Burning, and Burning was released I think the year I was born or the year after. It was either 90 or 91.
Yeah.
And he played it, and it sounded, obviously it's not the original mix, but it was Burning, and it sounded as good, if not better, than any of the other records that he played.
Yeah.
And I know it's easy for us to say that because it's a classic, but even if there's some classics that just don't stand the test of time. There's some records that you could play that were huge back in the day that you can't play now. And there are like that Burning record was just something special.
Yeah. That's my favorite of
same.
Yeah. So I know it's very bad to say that because it means that he didn't in 1991. So sorry, MK. Mark, I love you. But yeah.
Yeah. No, I love that record. I love it. Dude, we've just done like an hour and 20 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's just like flown by. Let's wrap this up, but before we go, what's the name of your new EP and where can people check it out? And if people aren't following you, how can people follow you and all of that?
Yeah, so there is Get High and All the People. So I think the EP is called Get High. So in Factory 93. And yeah, so the track did really good, like pretty good. All the People did a little bit better, but it's more like in the music of like right now, like Take House, like and Get High. But I prefer Get High, like it's more, I don't know, sexy maybe for me. So
is Get High the B side?
So actually the Get High was supposed to be the A side.
Yeah.
And then when we received the result of the promo, most of people preferred All the People.
Yeah.
And so I think the label decided to push more at this moment All the People. Mm. But at the beginning, I think the Get High was supposed to be the A side. Mm.
I prefer Get High, personally.
Yeah, you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great, I'm though. Sure. It's a great EP. I love it. And it's nice to see you releasing music again. It's been a while, man. It's nice to see you back out there.
Yeah, I didn't do anything from like all the period, like lockdown.
Yeah.
Because for me, it was weird to release something that nobody would play.
Yeah.
So it was only streams. But for me, my sound, like I'm pretty often more in the low end energy.
Yeah, totally.
What I like. And for me, people who listen to computer speakers or I don't know, like it didn't make sense to make music for that.
Yeah, that's for me. During lockdown, so, I the music that I released was very different to what I would put out now. Not very different, but I put out two records that
more melodic, maybe more like something that you can listen more to, than enjoy in the clubs. But makes sense.
Cool, man. Dude, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you. It was good to see you.
So nice to see you. And hopefully I can see you soon. I don't know when.
Yeah, but, of course.
I'm back. I'm actually back in America. I leave next week to go back to the UK.
Okay.
But I'm back end of October. And I'm not touring every weekend then. So I have a bit more time off. So I could come down and see you in Miami or come and see you at a show. I'd love to.
Even if you don't like the city, you can.
I like Miami. Okay.
No, not living.
I couldn't live in Miami. No, I couldn't.
I know.
It's too hot. It's too humid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do. Yeah. Although when I played Space there the other day, I was like, it's a special city. It's a special city.
But yeah,
I'm thinking of leaving Detroit though. I don't know where. It's either Austin or Chicago, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, not too sure.
Different.
Yeah. Austin's hot though. It's kind of too hot.
Just think about the airport.
Yeah. Chicago airport's good.
Yeah.
Well,
airport is amazing.
Yeah.
You can go everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah. I fly American, so
yeah.
Do you fly American?
It's very hard to It's very hard to go to the airport. Like if you live around the city or some, it's very far.
It is far away.
That's why, like Miami for me is like the best because the airport is like 10 minutes, 15 minutes maximum from home. Everything is close. Like you have like different areas. Everything is like 15 minutes from everywhere. And so you don't lose time on traffic. You don't lose time on. And for me, that's the first very important thing.
Yeah.
Like LA, crazy.
Oh, no. You go to the airport,
it's a nightmare. And it's like you lose so much time.
Yeah. Just traveling. What?
So that's just like the things very important for me.
San Diego. San Diego is like in California. San Diego is the only place I'd live, and one of the main reasons is because the airport is so close that you can get there in like 5 minutes.
But I don't know if you have a flight for San Diego from everywhere. You have the connection all the time.
Well, even in Detroit, the airport's like 15, 20 minutes from my house, but I always have to connect to Chicago or something like that.
Oh yeah,
yeah, pretty much.
Why you don't fly with Delta?
Because
Detroit is Delta.
Because before I flew, before I moved to Detroit, I was with American. And then I switched.
You did a little bit for a moment, but after that you...
Yeah, I switched for a bit. But I just prefer flying American.
Okay.
Yeah, and then all my credit cards was with American. It just kind of made sense.
Okay.
But I don't know. I need to work it out. To work it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude. Right. Let's wrap this up. Thank you so much for being on. Keep safe.
Thank you. Invite me.
See you soon. You're always
I saw all your podcasts and I said, damn, he doesn't want to invite me. He doesn't like me anymore.
Oh, shut up. I love you. I honestly didn't know if you would do it because I know.
Oh, because I say no one time.
Yeah.
I know you're upset of that.
You told me
so one
time.
People have to know. Sometimes at the beginning, Will Clark invited me to his radio show. It was not a radio show, but it was a show. And at the beginning, and I said, like a motherfucker, like French guy, like a bad, I don't know. And I said, no, like it's not big enough for me, like something like that. I will do it later. And I was not thinking because sometimes I'm like that. I should like turn my tongue. I don't know if we say that in English, but like more times before talking. But yeah, it was not really, really nice to me to say that. And yeah, I'm sorry for that. And I know like
I didn't even remember you saying that.
Yeah, something like that. Like, yeah. But I know I said no because your show was just starting, and at this time I was like growing up, and I really felt like it's better if you have someone else and then do it like a little bit later. But it was not a good thought, and I'm sorry for that. So if you invite me, of course I'm here always for you. Love you, you know, man. That
love you, dude. But the thing is, you were probably right. There comes a point when there's a time and a place for people to come on the show. It's even with this podcast, like I've done it for over a year now, and I wanted to grow it to a point, not even get the listeners, because it's not a massive podcast. It's not something that's going to change people's careers. It's not a fucking Joe Rogan. But I needed to get better at having conversations, and I bringing you on is like an absolute honor. Like, you're a good friend of mine, but you're also one of the biggest artists in our industry, especially in North America. And I want people to have a good experience listening to it.
Yeah.
I want people to enjoy it, and I want people to go and listen to this over and over again and talk about this. And I think for me getting you in on the first couple of months, it wouldn't have been good. It wouldn't have been as good as it is. So I think now's the right time. Okay. So thank you, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
See you soon. Keep safe.
See you soon. Yeah.
Stay on. Stay on, man. And that is a wrap. We are done. Huge love to Sheba San for coming on. Thanks all for listening. Don't forget to subscribe. Share it with everyone. Keep safe. And I'll see you next time.
What if you could have a career where the opportunities are as vast as our nation? Where it's not about mission statements, but a shared mission. At U.S. Customs and Border Protection, we go beyond to protect more than borders. From ship to shore, air to ground, cities to local communities, CBP agents and officers are keeping people safe. Join U.S. Customs and Border Protection and go beyond for something far greater than yourself. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.